Welcome back to the program. I remember sitting down and watching the very first AFL footy show. The first person out was Wispy Watson. The guy on the end was Jason Dunstall. And I think I've got the seating arrangement right. And the man in the middle was none other than the great Dougie Hawkins. And he will return to the grand final footy show on the Thursday before the grand final. He's been good enough to join us this morning. Welcome, Douglas.
Morning, Gazza, and morning, Tim.
What do you remember of that first?
I've been having elocution speaking lessons,
Gazza. Don't do that, mate. You lose your whole shtick.
Just be yourself.
Be yourself, my friend. Hey, what do you remember about that very, very first night?
Well, Gazza, it was amazing. A couple of hours before the show, I ran into the great Ernie Sigley, and he said to me, Dougie, just be yourself. Don't try me something you're not. And then about an hour later, the late Lou Richards, and he gave me the same advice. Just, Dougie, just be yourself, mate, and go and have a bit of fun. So, Gaz, I must admit, mate, Tim, you're on the show that night. I had no idea what I was going to do. Had no idea what we were going to do. But we actually had a script, Gaz. And Tim may remember this. We had a script, which I reckon lasted about the first break. I remember Eddie coming over. Tim, I think he said, listen, boys, don't worry about the script. Sam's going to take it somewhere. Trev's going to crack a few jokes. And you blokes just talk manure and have a bit of fun. So it didn't last long, Tim, did it? I don't think we scripted. It was more, I think, Gaz, and you know yourself, Gaz, you're on that as well in the early days. It was more so we had lived. We sort of made it up as we went along, a bit like a jazz singer.
Did we ever? There was a running sheet which basically told
very
us
loose
when we were in and when we were out, and then Sam and Eddie did their stuff. And there were times there where we could become spectators over on the panel.
Occasionally.
It was, Gaz. It certainly was, Gaz. It was stages there. I reckon there was one night I got in the car and I said to Rayleigh, my wife, she said, you didn't say much. I said, yeah, I actually spoke eight times. I said eight words, I reckon. I said the whole night. I think it was just the tips.
You look right at home, though, Dougie. From show one, you looked at home. And I said to myself as I was sitting there, a star is born on this footy show.
Well, Tim, it was all just a lot of good fun, you know, and we certainly had that. And I think, remember the night when I tried to say manure? I'll never forget it. Before the show, I was playing at Fitzroy at that stage in the island, Nauru. Sam said, what do they make on the island there, Hawk? And I just said, oh, I'll make a lot of manure. And as soon as I said that, he started laughing. I said, oh, shit, here we go. He's gonna ask me straight away. The first question will be, Dougie, what is on that island? And that was the first question to me. And I rehearsed it for the last 40 minutes, and I nailed it. But when the red light went on, my head started to get, you know, when you get real hot, boys, we've all been there. You get hot and you get a bit flustered.
Yep.
And then I went, Mamua, and Sam just pissed himself off. And I wrote a book. I'm an author of three books, and one was Hawk Mamua. So anyway, one word.
What have they told you about the grand final show?
Gaz, I really don't know a hell of a lot, Gaz. I'm not really completely sure. I did get a message from Eddie McGuire's office saying that it may be a panel of myself and Billy and Shane Crawford, and that'd be probably, you know, maybe a 10-minute thing. I'm not completely sure. The players review thing, I'm not a player anymore. I sort of passed that sort of thing. And
yep.
It's more, I think, Tim, more Gaz, to get on there and reminisce about, you know, the original days. I think I only had 4 or 5 years there, and I made a real smart decision, went to Channel 7 and we did a show called Live and Kicking. Wasn't that a shit house show? That was terrible. There was that bad. It was good.
Do you regret putting your chest hair on fire? Is that what you did one night?
Yeah, what I did, Tim. Yeah, you know what I did. The first week, I went across to Channel 7 to be seen to be serious.
Yep.
To show the footy public, Dougie Hawkins goes to the commentary. He nuts his footy back the front. The first show, I stood on my head, done a headstand, and sculled a pot of beer. Can you believe it? On national TV. What a dickhead. And then the next week, Harvey Spielberg, he got me to light a cigarette off the hairs of my chest. What a dickhead. What?
And you fell
my,
for it.
My kids. And I fell for it. You're allowed to say no, Gaz, aren't you?
Yeah,
you
mate.
Say no every now and then.
It's hard to say no.
I just went along with that. Yeah, went along with it, mate. And so the move to Channel 7 really wasn't smart. I I really felt my role, boys, I was starting to get a bit stale, like the court jester, and I just sort of thought the opportunity was there to go and do a bit of commentary. And of course, you know, Channel 7 lasted about 5 years with the footy coverage, and it went over to Channel 9. So that was in the Dougie.
Well, Gary and I always thought you had more range.
Hey, Dougie, have a listen to this.
Hey, Gaz, when are you going to go on the front bar, Gaz?
I'm actually on tonight, so I'm going to ask you for some advice in a moment. But I want you to listen to this. This is Tim Watson's first ever joke that night on the footy show. So have a listen and see if you can remember the Wisp doing his very, very sharpest stuff.
Well, what you think Tim Watson has had, not only was he Father of the Year last year, but of course the Premiership. And again, congratulations on Saturday night, another Premiership for Tim Watson. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you.
All set to go, mate?
Yes, I'm all set to go. I'm a little bit disappointed about not winning the McTucky.
The McTucky? Yeah. Well, that's not too bad. Yeah. You promised your kids the McTucky,
didn't you? I promise the kids the McTucky. End up getting them some Kentucky.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
That worked all right, Eddie.
Yeah. What about that, Dougie? The chemistry between Wisp and Eddie was magnificent.
I'll tell you, Gaz, Tim rehearsed that for a week.
Hey, what about you stealing some of my stuff too?
You still slaughtered it, Tim. That was pathetic, Timmy.
You stole my tribunal appearance when I had to face Neil Busy, and I went in there and I said, "Are you busy?" And he said yes, and I said, "Okay, I'll come back later." You've been doing that. You've been doing that for 25 years.
Was that yours, Tim? Was it?
Yeah, you stole it.
Well, you know what, Tim? I've cut back to 6 shows a week. I've been pretty quiet.
Hey, Douglas, what can I expect tonight on the front bar? You've been on.
Well, Gazza, gee, they've been giving you Gaz, haven't they, with that VFL squadron?
Actually, were you on the squadron?
No, you didn't ask him to come on. But Gaz Peterkin, some of those were shocking, Gaz, weren't they?
Sorry, that was terrible, mate. There's no getting away from it, Douglas.
You know what you're going to do, Gaz. He's had a bit of fun with Sam. They're good blokes. And you know what they are? They're footy blokes. Him and Mick and Andy Maher, they're footy blokes. And you know, the quiet beer there, Gaz. And just, it's like sitting, you know what it was, Gaz, Tim? It was just like sitting at the front bar of the Braybrook Hotel, having a beer for your mates and just having a bit of banter.
Yeah.
It's a great show. It's just very, very simple.
Perfect, mate. Well, I'll get in and give it a fly tonight, but we'll also look forward to seeing you on... it's on Wednesday. I said Thursday. It's Wednesday, September 25. It's on Channel 9. It's the Grand Final Footy Show. We've got some tickets we'll give away before the end of the show, but we look forward to seeing you back on the screen, Dougie. What's on today, mate?
Good on you, Gaz. What's that, mate?
What do you got on today?
I'm working, Gaz. I'm a construction worker.
Yes.
I'm a road traffic controller.
Yes.
You know what I am? I'm a lollipop operator.
And one of the best going around too, Dougie.
I tell you what, Gaz, Tim. The other week in the paper, they got it wrong. They said we only get 105,000. We make 150 to 180,000. I'm a lollipop operator.
How do you stay warm on a cold day though, Dougie?
I've got 6 jackets here. I'm down at Clayton. I work with Phoenix Traffic. So I'm down here at M City, down at the corner of Blackburn Road and Dandenong Road. So anyone comes past, give me a bip. I'm on gate 7. I'll give me a wave and give me a bip and I'll wave back. Tim, I've got 7 jackets on. I'm freezing down here.
Oh, mate, we always love talking to you.
You're a star, mate. Thanks for jumping on this morning.
Good on you, Gaz. Good on you, Tim. Good on you, boys.
On you, Dougie.
Dougie Hawkins, what a champ.
One of my favourites.
He just makes you smile straight away. Wednesday, the 25th of September. Grand Final Footy Show Spectacular. Tickets are on sale now. We'll give some away closer to the day. Text us now and tell us what you've seen the light on, by the way. We've got a couple of $500 vouchers to give away, $1,000 worth of blinds. So 0433 98 11 16, or you can call through. What have you seen the light on? Wisp, I don't know when your best mate is Jared Roughead.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit hard to sort of come up. When you're a Hall of Famer inductee, certainly, and you've had 4 premierships and a 300-plus game career, you're entitled to a pretty big farewell, I would have thought.
Huge.
But when Ruff pinches all the limelight the week before, you just got to take your medicine a bit, I think. And that's what Geordie Lewis has had to do in the past couple of days. He's announced his retirement. He did a beautiful low-key number with flanked by Alistair Clarkson and his current coach in Simon Goodwin, and I think that's the way the boy from Warrnambool likes it. Welcome, Geordie, and congratulations on a great career.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, Ruffy's been quite senseless in his 13, 14-year career, but certainly last week was quite selfish, to be quite honest.
It's all about him. He just said, "Oh, no, I'm taking over." I know you were there on that day. It was a great day. When in your own mind did you know that this was going to be it for you?
Oh, to be honest, it was my last year on my contract. So Goody and I sat down even to the towards the end of last year and said that this year might pan out a little bit like Bernie Vince's last year. You might play some BFL games if your form wasn't up to it, and just make sure that. And I reassured them that my attitude would always be the team is first. I'll never, ever, be bigger than that. So when my form slipped away, sort of halfway through the year, I went back to the BFL, and that was probably when I really thought, well, this is my last year. And the transparency between Goody and I all year had always been, this would be my last year, and let's try and make it as smooth as enjoyable as we possibly can. Certainly the wins and losses didn't help, but my mindset around the club and even going back to VFL made it a really enjoyable year.
Hey, Geordie, congratulations on your career. It's been magnificent. You've done everything that any player would want to do in their AFL career. Can you just take us back to the young Jordan Lewis that left the country and came to Melbourne? How different are you from that young bloke?
Depends who you ask. I think I haven't changed a hell of a lot, but certainly the people around me would question that. I suppose you come in as a young kid and really just look to cement yourself as an AFL player, and then you probably think about the individual awards, I suppose, as a young kid, but certainly once we won the flag in 2008, it was all about team success and whatever the team needed me to do, Hodgie to do, Ruffy to do, whoever to do, we were really happy to do that. So my mindset shifted in a way of what football meant and what it was and what it takes, I suppose, and required to be an elite player and an elite team for a long period of time. So I think throughout my career, you're quite selfish at the start, and then you become really selfless and understand that you are just a little cog in the machine.
That team was magnificent and a selfless team. Who drove that? Is that coach-driven, or did that come as a result of players reaching a peak in their careers where they matured more as a player and they recognised that themselves, or was it a combination of the two?
I think a combination of the two. I would say probably coach-driven more so, because he's the person that keeps us responsible and keeps us accountable. So, I mean, there's moments throughout probably all careers when we were at Hawthorn that we got seriously challenged in the way that we played the game. And was it of the benefit of the team, or was it of the benefit of the individual? And, you know, that was really driven hard by Clarko, and, you know, to a point where we didn't really have to question that later on in our careers, because we knew if we stepped out of line, he'd be coming down hard on us.
From a Melbourne point of view, and Tim and I were talking about this yesterday, your impact has been profound, and we've heard that from a number of different sources, and I know that for a fact as well. But what was it going in there was to bring a standard that they hadn't been able to embrace in the previous however many years? What was it like when you first walked in? Was it as sort of bad as the picture was painted?
No, it wasn't. And I spoke to, you know, obviously the senior guys who had been there for a long period of time. And I think once Paul Roos came in and then his tenure finished and then Goody took over the year that I got there, it was a lot better than what it had been in previous years. Clearly, they still had some work to do, but it was a really good environment to come into. It was a high-performance environment. There was a program set up to help kids who were coming through and developing their game to really flourish. And I was really impressed, to be honest, when I first stepped in there and the structures that were in place. But certainly prior to that, it's been a really hard place to come to work.
And now you leave 3 years later, and it's, you know, it depends who you listen to, and I'm very loath to listen to those other than the people who were closest to the club. How are you leaving it now? Well, how do you see it now?
I think the bones are really good. It's been a difficult year for a lot of things, but I truly believe this. I really think years like this make a footballer, coaching staff, whoever, really understand how hard it is and understand the mindset that's required, that even when you come back to pre-season, the mindset that's required to participate in pre-season, challenge yourself, understand that the game is moving. So then when the season comes around, that has a big impact on the way you approach the year. And maybe last year, the guys who hadn't been in a position where they've had some sort of success and played deep into the finals just came back with the mindset of it's just going to improve and we don't really have to do anything different.
Did you recognise that early, Geordie?
Looking back now, I don't think so. I think everyone had the intention. Certainly when we trained, there wasn't that mindset, but maybe away from the club, you know, the way we did things, you know, the little things. I think always the good sides really hone in on the little things. And some of this might sound really ridiculous, but you know, at Hawthorn we made sure we had clean lockers, we had the right socks on, the right shorts on, the right training jumper. And not to say that wasn't at Melbourne, but those little things created a really good culture and a really aggressive mindset that, you know, everything was on show.
And yesterday at the announcement, you sat alongside Simon Goodwin and also Al Clarkson. The relationship that you had with your coach coming in as a young player compared to, say, a relationship a young player may have coming into AFL football today, has that changed dramatically?
I think initially Clarko was clearly new to the job when I came in, so it was more of a nurturing type of relationship. But then once we got to a position where I was mature, he worked out what to drive me. It became a really, you know, hard-driven relationship, which is what I needed as a footballer. You know, to the point where he would use me as an example that might not necessarily include me, but to impact other people who couldn't take a spray. And you don't realise at the time, you get quite upset and bitter at the time when it's all happening, but I look back on that time and just go, I wouldn't have it any other way.
So you've got this wealth of knowledge and experience now. Was there any, I don't know what your future holds. You know, you've got media, certainly you're very good in that. There would be a host of footy clubs that would love to tap into it. Was there any thought ever given to the fact that you might, as a group, go up and help out maybe the Gold Coast Suns or, you know, one of the struggling sides, you, Ruffy, maybe Shawnee Burgoyne, get together and go and put together something that, you know, might help establish that football club?
I don't think that's up to us, to be honest. I haven't been approached, and I know Ruffy's been approached from a coaching point of view, and I don't know where Sean sits. I think he's been offered a deal at Hawthorn. So, I haven't, to be honest, because I haven't been approached. It's probably not something that I foresaw coming next year. So, I've got next year for that, which gives you clarity, I suppose. But I've also, like Tim, got a little wine business on the side, so it keeps me happy.
What are you doing in the wine space, as a matter of interest?
We've released a wine last year, a Pinot, and this year we'll do a Pinot from Yarra and Morning. So,
you just dropped out there, Geordie, and I might want to just jump to the left or the right or backwards or forwards. We just lost you there for a moment.
You got me now?
Got you now, yep.
It was a Mornington Pinot, Tim. I think your vineyard's down there somewhere, isn't it?
No, we're down in Gippsland, but I hear you've got a very, very fine Pinot and a very nice nose for it as well.
And a couple of good winemakers, which also helps others riding their coattails.
So are you going to get into that in a more pronounced way, or is that just like a little side interest?
No, absolutely. We're looking to grow the business, definitely. We just, I suppose, the organic growth early on and then, you know, see where it takes us. But, yeah, we're sort of looking to hopefully double year on year and become a really well-known wine brand.
And what about the footy space? Well, how do you think that's going to work?
I think anyone who's probably been in the media understands that you probably can't do both. You do become conflicted in a sense. So I think next year I'll go down the media path and see how that unfolds. But maybe a development role a day or two a week at a club that needs that. I'm certainly open to any sort of suggestions and ideas that come my way.
And how deep into the finals do you think Hodgie can take his Lions?
I think very deep. They've certainly got a group that's playing together. You can just tell by the way they are playing. They're happy. They're a happy group, which is important, and they've got confidence. So they come down here and play Richmond at the G, which they don't tend to play too often. So they will say this is a really big game, a big confidence booster. But, I mean, you've got Hodgie there who's got a wealth of finals experience, and you've got Chris Fagan who also has it from the coaching box. So, you know, they're a really good group and got all the boys firing.
So last game this weekend against the Kangaroos, you're going to wind the clock back. Is Goody going to throw you in the middle? What's he got for you?
He suggested something like that. You might see me a little bit around the wing and midfield and maybe pop forward and try and snag a couple of goals to finish it off. But it's sort of a surreal feeling. We'll head down there tomorrow and understand that that's your last time you'll ever step out on an AFL ground.
Well, you leave a great legacy behind, and as I said, Hall of Fame is absolutely a certainty. And congratulations from all of us here at SEN. And no doubt we'll see a lot more and hear a lot more of you in the years to come. Geordie Lewis, great effort.
Good on you. Thanks, Wes.
But we want to talk to another man who's farewelling football after a celebrated career. 223 games. His final game will be against the Melbourne Footy Club on the weekend. He's been an All-Australian and a Best and Fairest winner. And his mum gave us a memorable interview a couple of years ago. His name's Scotty Thompson and he joins us. Scotty, congratulations.
Thanks, boys.
How's it feel? You might have, what, one more training session left in your career? How's that all sort of resonating with you?
Yeah, it's actually feeling good. We had our last main training yesterday, and that was the last time I'll pretty much be at Arden Street. So we train in Tassie tomorrow. So, no, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm looking forward to a bit of time off and, getting into something new.
You're feeling sad or are you feeling relieved or can you describe your feelings right now?
Yeah, I'm not feeling that sad at the moment. Obviously, end of the game, I'll probably get a bit emotional, but I'm actually feeling excited for it. I love playing footy, but, I've been in there for 12 years now, so looking for, a bit of a change will be nice. And it'll be sad to not play with my teammates and muck around with them every day, but it's time for me to change up.
It wasn't an easy start for you. Can you take us back to the beginning and the Geelong days and where you thought it was going to go in those early days?
Yeah, so I never really played, I didn't play TAC Cup, didn't really make any of the representative teams, just played local footy and then got a chance with Lee Tudor at the VFL in Geelong and got cut twice from that in 3 years and then finally got to play some games and had a good final series and got drafted in 07. So I didn't think I was going to be playing AFL, so I was just working at Maccas. So, I've been so happy with my career. Getting 12 years, I didn't think I was ever going to play. So, I'm pretty happy with where I've got to.
Hey, Scotty, you get to North Melbourne. Who was it that sort of put their arm around you and gave you the confidence to believe that you were going to be an AFL player?
I guess Dean Radley, after my first year, sat me down and told me I was kind of a half-backer then, and he told me just to hit the gym and bulk up because there could be a spot as a key defender. He put me in that direction and, bulked up that year and got a spot as a key defender and kept it. So, but as in players, probably Drew Petrie was the best to me. He was the key forward and I played on him at training and he taught me a lot of things and taught me training ethics and how to train hard.
And who taught you just to be a little bit antagonistic? Was that a natural? Did that come naturally to you or did you think that that's something you needed just to add to your game?
It probably doesn't come natural, I've got two older brothers, and I'm the youngest, so it probably comes from there. It just always comes
over and over. Sorry, the phone just struggling to hear you there, Scotty, if you maybe just move around a little bit. Toughest opponent. I mean, you played through an era where there was just some incredible full forwards. Who did you have most difficulty with?
Probably Jonathan Brown and Brendan Revolver early on in my career. They were pretty good. I can remember playing on them in the same game and I think they might have kicked six or seven on me in the space of a quarter and a half. So that wasn't good. But obviously Buddy Franklin and like Nick Riewoldt, they're all superstars of the game.
Hey, Scotty, I don't want to bring back any bad memories for you, but you mentioned Buddy Franklin. Did he kick the 13 on you that day down in Tassie?
I had a little time on him. I think he might have kicked five on me. I was second in line. There were three of us that played on him that day, so he was in some fine form.
Hey, did you just plan on somebody like him? And did you obviously went on to him after he was already a bit hot on that particular day? What is it that you noticed about somebody like a Buddy Franklin playing on them?
Oh, they can change the game in 1 minute. I can remember playing on him. I thought I had a good game and he kicked three in the last 5 minutes and won on the game. And I couldn't do anything to stop him. I was in good positions. They just have that ability. If they're on, you can't stop them and, they win games.
We've been talking, sadly, and you know this question's coming, but with the fact that Steele Sidebottom's going to miss this week with a similar injury to your good self a couple of weeks ago, without you know, wanting people might be having breakfast Scotland, but where did it rate in terms of injuries? And he got back really quickly, so what do we expect from Steele?
Yeah, I guess, I heard that, which is obviously not good for him. But, if it's similar, you know, the first week's very painful, but it actually heals up pretty quickly. And, you know, obviously he's not playing this weekend and then they'll have the bye. So, you'd hope he could make it back for the finals. It's a bit painful at the start, but it definitely improves quickly.
And were you tentative when you first stepped out again after it?
No. I was. The surgeon said if you get hit, you get hit, and it's just like normal. So, I'm sure he'll be the same. You're a footballer, so you're expected to pop a few knocks, and you just deal with it.
17 minutes. It's 15 minutes to 9 o'clock. We're talking to Scotty Thompson, who will play his last game at the weekend. What are you going to miss most about the game, do you think?
Probably just around the club with the boys when they're making jokes and that camaraderie. It's a pretty unique place, I guess. You probably don't get that in too many organisations. So, that's probably what I'll miss. And obviously, the wins. Once you win, that feeling after the games, something I probably won't be able to get back. But, there's other things that I won't miss as well, like team meetings and things like that.
And what do you think Rhys Shaw, what do you think there is about him that has North Melbourne believing that he's going to be a successful coach?
Yeah, he's obviously been super since he stepped in, and the relationships he's forming with every individual is pretty good. So I think it'll give the confidence to all the boys to really, you know, play their way and have no fear. And I think just the relationships he'll have with everyone will be the way he succeeds.
This North Melbourne team under him seems a lot more physical in the short time that he's been the coach. Has that been part of what they've tried or he's tried to implement? Is that the part of his coaching that he goes and drives hardest?
Oh, he definitely encourages to be physical. But I think more he's just, like, we haven't changed too much in the game plan, but he's just given everyone the confidence to play their game and, you know, use their strengths. So I think that's paying off so far.
What's going to take your time from here on in, Scotty? What do you got? I know you've been doing some building, but any footy you can have a kick around, or what are you going to do?
I'm not sure yet. I'm definitely going to have maybe a couple of months off. And then assess what to do. But, I haven't confirmed anything yet. There's a chance I'll play a little bit of footy, maybe. Not training too hard or anything like that, though. So there'll be some building and things like that. But I'm still just up in the air what I'm going to actually do in the future.
Well, you're going to get a lot of opportunities given the amount of text messages that have come through here who want us to pass on their congratulations from North Melbourne fans and footy fans in general. We've all enjoyed watching you play over a great career, mate. So they say if you can walk away from the game having nothing left or giving it everything you have, then you walk away well satisfied, and that's exactly what you should do. So congratulations.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you.
Congratulations. Well done.
A super player.